Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we are continuing our mini series on the energy block release sequences unique to Dru Yoga with EBR 5, which is all about clearing your pathway for change and working very much with the subtle body. And this one, more than any of the others, I think, is sort of quite exclusively focused on working on an energetic level and much less so on the physical.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. It's it is quite a full force sequence. It's very much a gathering of courage and a letting go of fear. It's almost like this is a sequence of like blowing out the cobwebs.
Yeah.
In a way. But it is very much expanding the subtle body and clearing the chakras. And it's quite a short one.
It's short in the sort of movements involved, but it can be expanded with repetition.
True, very true. Yeah.
The text suggests that some of the movements should be done up to 20 times, which personally I find a bit strong. But
And that's what I think. So it's interesting. Yes, it is a subtle practice, but that particular movement where it is encouraged, because this sort of coming back to me now when years ago when we were learning this, and I can't remember who it was, whether it was Andrew that taught this, but yes, it was. And there was something very grounding. So about the movement where you are expanding the subtle body, but you're sort of moving your legs and your feet, connecting to the earth and connecting the knees together.
Mm.
And quite deliberately sort of transferring your weight, stepping over to the other side and connecting the knees together without bobbing up and down, but just have that connection to the ground, which I suppose is nice balance for what's going on the more subtle layer.
Mm.
It's like keeping that grounded awareness in the lower part while you are really quite expanding into the subtle body, aren't you?
Hugely. I haven't tried it outside. I probably should. I always sort of think to do the more physical, obvious things like trees and warriors and things outside. But I should try doing this out on the grass to see what the difference is, and whether I can sort of sustain it for longer in that environment than indoors, without it feeling overwhelming.
Is that the feeling you got with it when you did more repetitions? It
starts to get really strong, yeah. Mm. So it's I mean, not in the movement. You could keep doing the movement for ages, but just that the build-up of energy in the sort of immediate body field is really strong. And yeah, I find that it gets to a point where I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Yes.
What would happen if you continued past that? I don't know. Maybe I should. I always sort of tend to back away when things start getting like that, but maybe the point is to go on.
Well, I think it's a good awareness, and then I suppose you can just start to play with that exploration around it, because you are actually drawing power up through the heart with that. So you are working in a very expansive, heart-expanding way, which will often reflect where you're at, won't it, at different times?
I think so. And we are at an interesting time in the current sort of world state, in terms of there being a lot of disruption and energy going into energy patterns and thought patterns and how we behave. And, you know, no matter what you've got going on in your life, it's pretty likely that something is different to what it was 6 or 12 or 24 months ago. So that has an effect too.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do remember always finding it strong. Anything where I'm working with my hands, I don't see light or feel heat, but I feel something, and it gets quite powerful if I focus it. So that's what this does. And so, yeah, that and the movement, the embracing change part of the movement, which is sort of the stepping back and forward.
Yes.
That gets quite strong too.
Yeah. And I think I'm just looking at the notes in my manual at the moment, because each time I've attended and supported on teacher training modules, you always gain more.
Yeah.
And when I lived in Melbourne, we did lots of, I supported on the teacher training for the Melbourne group, and I was also supporting for the marking for Adelaide. And you get together with the senior tutors and you pick up more wisdom and more jewels of information. Mm. And one of the notes I made was, you know, the importance of, just before we go on to where you were heading, was letting the knees connect and soften together. The knees touching, the pelvis sort of sinking slightly and in the into that neutral space, it sends energy back up to the sky, is what I've written here.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So
help stops the buildup, perhaps.
Yeah. So that's an interesting, because I remember it being a very specific instruction that, that contact of the knees was very important movement.
It's, yeah, it's a good thing to point out, because if you are working just with simple notes, that probably isn't specified.
No, yeah. They're sort of things that get added over time. And not to bob, you know, you can easily get into a bit of a bobbing motion with this and miss some of those subtleties. So it's very much about grace and flow.
There is still a knee bending action, I believe.
Yeah. So, subtle, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And maybe the point is to just not lock joints at this state.
No, but
I can't imagine you would be able to do this EBR with lock joints at all, really. It would just sort of not work.
Well, no,
stop, but
and you don't lock joints anyway.
No, like by the time you get to EBR 5, if you're practicing Drew Yoga, you sort of have long ago stopped locking any joints. But I would say that once you you could get away with it perhaps in the earlier more physical movements, but certainly in something like this it becomes really obvious why you don't.
Yes, and, doesn't it?
And that's kind of important. Like there's a safety element to it. Like if you can stand without your knees locked, well then you're engaging all the tiny muscles and processes in every part of your sort of your leg structure to hold that balance. It takes muscular strength if you're not just bone on bone. But there's an energetic effect that might not be obvious when you're just standing in Tadasana, say, but it becomes really obvious when you're doing something like this and you need that movement. So
And when we expand into that, and you sort of you start making that, it's like you're holding this ball of light and you're rotating it around, and and then you start to expand it, and it's like drawing the, it's like outlining your own angelic wings. That's what I've always sort of visioned, that when I start to expand, it's like connecting to your own wings and drawing that power up through your heart and acknowledging sort of that greater aspect of yourself.
That's an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah.
My notes suggested adding into the sort of structure provided is that you're also working with Manipura. So, excuse me, it's not just a heart expanding exercise, say in the Anahata breath. It is more unifying than that in a way.
Unifying, that's a good word.
So, and it does, like when you sort of take that focus, you can feel that that action of rotating and expanding and contracting the ball of light is very much sort of unifying different power centers in the body. Which is, you know, as we're finding with all of the EBR sequences, there's no mistakes. That is a necessary step to then be able to go forward and embrace change. So,
yeah, this is a lovely one for clearing. I think clearing out and lighting your way forward. So, I really like this second part where we're clearing the chakras. And yes,
that would be if I had to sort of say that, you don't really have a favorite part because the whole thing is dependent on being whole. That is the part that I find the most sort of freeing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And intuitive.
Intuitive. And also it's like, take notice of how you're doing it. If you did this over the course of a couple of weeks, because some days you might be really like, and it's quite sharp and short, and other days it might be more flowing and softer. It's like be open to how you clear and how your hands and arms are crossing, because it may vary according to how you feel.
And it will be what you need. I think that's the other thing.
Yes.
Don't force it to be something that if you're not feeling like you should have short, sharp breaths, then let them be soft.
But, yes, yeah.
Yeah, certainly I remember when I was first learning this sequence that the most of the movements I needed to pay quite a lot of attention to get.
Yes.
But that particular part with the clearing of the chakras, that was just like, oh, yeah, I know how to do it.
Yes.
It was so obvious.
Yeah.
And I think you should pay attention when you find things like that in yoga or anything.
Yeah.
Because that's your sort of your somatic knowledge that is there. Your body knows what it needs and it will talk to you if you can learn to listen.
Mm. Yeah. And then I think you're about to mention about the embracing change and removing fear part before. Oh, I think you did move on to that. And that's the part I think that can get a bit confusing with the placement of your feet and hands.
It is a strange movement. It's not especially natural, I don't think, in terms of how your knee of your standing leg aligns.
Mm.
So I don't think you want to open too far.
Mm.
But it would be different for everybody, I imagine.
Yeah, it's just really, so if you're standing, you're really just anchoring one foot, step forward with the other foot and swing your arms forward with your foot and then let your arms sweep back behind you and then bring them back up again. And as they come back up again, that foot that you stepped forward before, you're going to step back with your arms coming back with you.
Mm.
And then you
but step there's back. There's a cross action to it. It's not a straight forward and back. It's a diagonal line across the body plane.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
but so it's an opening. So it's not just a sort of forward and back rush. There is actually an opening out to the side at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And I like to. So it's quite. You do need to have your core support engaged to support your whole alignment. And and if you think about leading from that whole navel region, like lead from the Hara center. And that creates, you know, a much nicer neutral pelvis and sort of power center to move from. Yeah,
it's one, like, there shouldn't obviously, like, no Drew sequence involves wrenching or forcing the body in any way. So it should open to the extent that your hips and your spine want to turn. And the focus, of course, is more on the energetic effect.
Yes,
it's certainly an interesting one, and that it's a courageous movement. Yeah, I find it. I probably get more of that sense of EBR4 is more of a courage builder.
I think that's because in EBR4 you're opening up, and there's the eagle of wisdom.
Yeah,
and there's the fearless flight, and that whole imagery of the eagle is courageous.
It's so strong.
Yeah.
I don't want to sort of end up talking about the wrong sequence for this podcast session.
No. But this doesn't have that imagery of that. But there is a great strength in this, in as far as you are moving from your Hara, from that midline of your body. And as you fall into a rhythm with that, stepping forward and taking your arms out, stepping back, sweep the arms behind, it's almost, I always language and envision it as I'm pushing this golden light out, lighting up my way forward, and I'm blessing with gratitude my past, which I send light to. And so then it's almost like you're forgiving, acknowledging everything that's brought you into this moment, and you're sending from that power place. Then you can send your light out with all the knowledge you've gained from that past experience. You can light your forward direction. And in doing that, almost removing some of the obstacles because you've sort of taken the time to get that wisdom from what's brought you here. Sounds a bit convoluted, but it's sort of like happens all subtly.
It does.
Process. So it is a very courageous. You know, that takes a lot to be grateful for the past, even just that.
It does,
and
then to be willing to move forward,
and
to be strong in the center point.
Yes,
there's three things that sort of, we are past, present and future, and it's all entwined. And so as much as you can sort of say, oh, well, that's good, you must focus on the now because that's all you have, that is true, but you also have the past and you also have the future as concepts. And and so it's important to know how to be in that state, knowing that what is present now was future a moment ago and will be past a moment later.
Yeah.
You can't ignore that. I think it's foolish probably to just sort of go, I exist only in the present. It's you sort of want to look back and bring forward who you are from your past and yeah. reshape that as you need in the future.
And this sequence is very much about bringing about that acceptance of your life and bringing light to all aspects. So that and where does that sit within you? And that's why some of these energy block release sequences of the Dru yoga tradition bring up a hell of a lot of emotional stuff at times. Because
they do. Yeah.
Because you one Usually. Like you alluded to is that you're coming from this place, this hara, this midline of your body. So it's almost like if there's anything there that you're not able to let go of when you're sort of instructed to send light to the past, then you're not going to feel so strong around that part of your body.
Mm.
There's going to be maybe some give there or some ungroundedness there. And it's like, let this reflect back to you and then bring in more light and let this beautiful fluid flowing process see if it can move some of that stuckness.
I would strongly suggest keeping a journal around this process and your progress with it or some form of record, whether you draw or whether you write or whether you want to type notes or just sit and reflect, but to take the time to do that because these sequences will move things that you didn't even know were there.
Yeah.
And it might not seem obvious that you do something like the EBR5 practice and then can't sleep that night. And you might think by then it was several hours later that something else was on your mind and you might not even realize that actually you've stirred something up with this. Mm. And it's a process. It's not a problem. It's just something that you need to move through. And
that's a nice statement. It's a process, not a problem. I think that's quite a powerful statement, Kelly.
Mm. Mm. These things just come out. But a nice point to probably finish.
Yes.
In the sense of, you know, where are you at with your processes?
Yeah, and
think of them that way.
Yeah. But with journaling, you know, can't agree enough that, you know, that's such a valuable thing to do because you'll get so much further insight. And these practices you come back to and and layer by layer you start shifting. And you don't always notice what you shift if you've got no baseline measurement. So that's why journaling is so vital to have that baseline measurement because you forget where you were.
You do, yeah.
But if you go back and read later on, then you can think, oh my gosh, I have really moved so much further than I really gave myself credit for. So
and even if it seems like it's the same thing coming up, I've had this in my journaling at times, especially in the last couple of years, I sort of feel like I'm just writing about the same stuff all the time. And sometimes I go to it and I write that down and like, I'm getting sick of this being the same thing over and over again. When am I going to get past it? But once again, it comes back to it's a process. It takes time. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with that. And you have to sometimes allow change to happen at the pace that it's going to happen at. And some of these things are very deep seated cultural sort of factors that are ingrained in our lives for many generations and they don't shift that easily. So don't feel bad for you, like if you're finding that certain things take a long time to move. And it doesn't matter what it looks like on the surface in terms of how traumatic, you know, you think that should or shouldn't have been. It's all the things that come behind it and that takes a long time to process.
Yeah, it does. And you could be working for some of your previous generations. They've left all the work to you.
It certainly happens. The message then, I suppose, is to be kind. You know,
be kind, yeah.
And once again, don't see it as a problem. There's nothing wrong with you. If this is having an effect and you're not feeling comfortable, that's okay.
I think we need to create a journal. I think we need to create a journal. And then we can have these little quotes along the way, like, it's a process, not a problem.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Let us know if you'd like a journal.
Let us know. Do.
We haven't got enough to do.
No. hopefully you enjoy some EBR5 practice and this gives you a little bit more insight into it. And we'll be back next week to talk about EBR6.
Yes. And whether you want a journal.
Yes. All right. Okay. We'll see you then. Bye. Thanks for listening.